In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and yes, I do know that it's not Christmas yet. Jimmy Stewart plays George Bailey. And George Bailey wants to get out of Bedford Falls. He has a dream. He has big dreams. He's going to travel the world. He's going to go to college. He's going to become an architect and do something that's going to be significant, make an impact on the world. And when it's time for him to go, his father has a heart attack and dies. And he discovers that if he doesn't stay, the building and loans is going to go into the hands of Mr. Potter. And Mr. Potter's not a nice man. He's selfish. He doesn't care about the poor. He just wants to make money. And so he stays. And the arrangement is that when his younger brother Harry gets out of college, then Harry will come and take over, and then he'll go travel the world. And then when Harry gets out of college, he surprises everybody and says, "Oh, hey, I'm married." And he discovers that Harry has a great job opportunity with his father-in-law. So George once again stays. When he gets married, George gets married. They have saved money and they're going to go travel the world on their honeymoon. And the day they're getting ready to leave, there's a run on the bank. And he has to use his own money. I mean, he doesn't have to. He decides to use his own money to keep people from pulling away from the building and loans and for it to collapse. And again, fall into the hands of Mr. Potter. And so a series of things happen like that where he never gets out of Bedford Falls. And through it all, he begins to wonder if he's making any kind of difference at all. Ministry can be like that. Please bow with me. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we're blessed. Blessed beyond words. Thank you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be lights. Lord, your light is so desperately needed in the world. That is always true. But Lord, there are moments when it seems more true. I think this is one of those moments. Help us to be lights, Lord, of your goodness, your love, your compassion, your holiness. May your light shine through. And may you be glorified. Pray, Lord, that at this time you'll be with me, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. Thank you so much for your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to be studying from Romans chapter 15, verses 22 through 29. Romans chapter 15, verses 22 through 29. Paul is nearing the end of his letter. And so now he's giving them some instructions about what he plans to do next. And because of that, we could have the tendency to look at this and say, "Oh, these are just travel plans." Okay. I think there's at least 7 lessons about ministry in this passage. Verse 22. "For this reason, I have often been prevented from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had for many years a longing to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing, and to be helped on my way there by you, when I have first enjoyed your company for a while." For this reason, because God had given them this ministry to go throughout this region, this northern part of the Mediterranean, from Jerusalem on, it's an arc. This reason, he's been hindered. So he's wanted to come to visit this church in Rome, even though he didn't plant this church, knows very few of the people there. He's wanted to come, but he's been hindered because he's been busy doing ministry. Okay? But now, there's no further place for him in this region. It's important to talk about what he's not saying. He's not saying that all the work is done. Like, you know, God says, "Okay, we've done all we can, so move on." He's not saying that there aren't more churches to be planted in this region. He's saying the ministry that God has given him has been completed. And so it's now time for him to move on. So in the summer, we've been studying the creation story. And on day 7, God rested. And that's interesting. Isaiah tells us God does not get tired. So like after 6 days, God was not going, "Whew, man, do I need a nap?" I think he's doing a couple of things, at least maybe more. Number one, I think he's saying, look, creation has been created to need rest. That's true of all of creation. Our seasons are about rest. We are about to enter into a season of rest as far as creation is concerned, right? Maybe a little bit sooner than we'd like, but it's about to happen. We need that message. We, as a part of creation, we need to understand the cycle of rest. But I think it's also possible that he's giving another lesson. Once you have done the work, it's time to move on. I think that's one of the first lessons here in about ministry. There are times to move on. Now, we know from what Jesus said that God didn't stop working. Jesus, well, he's being criticized because he's doing something on the Sabbath. You know, and he tells them, he says, look, my Father has not stopped working. So again, it's not like God created the universe and then said, okay, I'm going to go vacation somewhere. You guys are on your own. No. He finished with creation. He made creation so it would recreate and keep going. He was done with that part of it, but now there was redemptive work to be done. God didn't stop working. He stopped that part of work. He moved on to the another phase of work. And sometimes in ministry, we've got to understand that it just may be time to move on. When I was little and on into college age, bus ministry was very effective. There was a time where knocking doors was very effective. And there have been some people who have held on to that model way past its effectiveness. And not saying that it was a bad ministry, it was a great ministry. The bus ministry is the reason why my wife is a Christian today.
Praise God.
It's a great ministry. But it had lost its effectiveness and it was time to move on for a lot of churches. And it's important to understand that. Maybe one of the best ways to get this is if we talk about family. As a parent, you have been given the ministry of training your child. See, when we're talking about ministry, we're not just talking about preachers and elders. We're talking about everybody. If you are a parent, God has given you a ministry.
Amen.
And as you're raising your parents, there comes a time when you understand, or at least you should, understand that it's time to move on or to a different phase of training. Right? Steve Ekman, who used to be the president of York College, told us one time that this mother of a young lady that was moving into college asked, would it be okay if I move into my daughter's dorm room? You can see how that would go really well, right? Dr. Ekman said, absolutely not! See, this is an example of somebody not understanding that their ministry of training their child needed to move on to a different phase. Oh, sure, your children become adults. They get out of the house. You have to shift, and you don't stop encouraging. You don't stop praying. You don't stop worrying. But you have to change how you minister. It's time to move on. So Paul is saying simply that. It is time for me to move on. And so then he shares his plans. And his plan is to go to Spain. First to go to Rome. And he says, my goal is, some people have looked at verse 24 and they've thought that maybe that this is the whole reason why Paul wrote the letter. I disagree. It's not like he said, you know what, I want to write to ask them money, but that sounds a little crass, so I'm going to throw in a lot of other stuff so it sounds better. I don't think that was his point. Now, yes, he's saying, these are my plans. I want to go to Spain. I want to stop and visit you. And my goal is that you will then send me on my way. That's a pretty technical term for providing me with what I need to make it to Spain. Whether that's food, money, company, a ticket on a ship, whatever it is, whatever they could find to do. He's saying that's my goal. Here's what's interesting. So, there are a lot of people who wanted to go to Spain, by the way. Seneca, who was a governor, he traveled to Spain and he had glowing words about Spain. Augustine, when he was emperor, which would have been before Paul, he created a lot of Roman colonies in Spain. And so it became safer and it was beautiful. So there, a lot of people wanted to go to Spain. I don't think that's why Paul wanted to go. If you look at this line that's going to appear here, I don't know if you could see that. It's really small. Okay, Jerusalem all the way over to Spain. It completes the arc. That's what Paul had in mind. I'm pretty sure. He had a good plan to continue on with the ministry. This part of it's done. Let's move on and complete the arc down into Spain. Somebody else is responsible for the southern Mediterranean area. It was a good plan. But as far as we know, he never made it to Spain. Matter of fact, there's really good evidence that he never did. So, the second lesson of ministry is sometimes your plans don't work out. Years ago, I had the opportunity to go with Dr. Wheeler on an archaeological dig in Israel. I had gotten permission, saving money. And that same year, we found out that our children wanted to go to Senegal, Africa. And so we decided that it was more important that they have that opportunity than for me to go to Israel. I think going to Israel would have been a great plan. I think it would have increased my understanding. To be involved in an archaeological dig, how cool would that be? In Israel, where the disciples walked. It's been a dream of mine for a very long time. It has never happened. Good plans don't always happen. They could be godly plans, but they may not be God's plan. Does that make sense? You're wanting to serve God. You want to do it for all the right reasons, but for whatever reason, it's not what God has in mind, so it doesn't work out. Ministry means that you just keep serving God when those things happen.
That's right.
You don't give up. You understand. Oh, well, that was a good plan, but maybe it wasn't God's. Let's move on. Verse 25. But now I am going to Jerusalem serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. But now, I'm going to Jerusalem. The words that Paul uses means that it's about to happen. Matter of fact, he might have been in Jerusalem before Rome got this letter. So that is the plan. He's going to go to Jerusalem. So he wants to go to Rome and he wants to go to Spain. That's a good plan, but first he needs to go to Jerusalem. I think what he's saying is that sometimes you have to choose between two service ministries. See, the church in Israel had become very poor. there was a famine. Matter of fact, we not only is this, we see this in Paul's collecting money, but we also read it in history. There was this huge famine. The emperor's wife at the time was favorable towards the Jews, and so she sent a whole ship of grain to Israel to help them out. It was bad. Now here's the thing that's interesting. In Galatians 2, we're told that Paul says the pillars of the church in Jerusalem, not only did they bless the ministry among the Gentiles, they said, oh, and by the way, don't forget the poor. They just didn't know that meant them. Because at the time it wasn't them. But a few years down the road, it became them. And so Paul raises money to take back to the church in Jerusalem to help them because they had become devastated. It was a ministry of need in the moment. So one of the times we were in Honduras, there is this couple that we met. We're actually on our way to buy some supplies, and I'll take that down because I know that might be distressing to some people. But we're on our way to buy some supplies because we're going to go take some beds to people who had lived out in the country and they didn't have beds and their children were sleeping on dirt floors. Okay, so we connect with local churches and the preacher tells us which families need this the most and they give us the address and that's what we're going to do. We hire a local carpenter to make the beds. So we just had to get some supplies. We go into town and there is this couple, and as you could see if you saw the picture, the wife had a serious burn on her arm. I knew enough Spanish to understand they're looking for help. Matter of fact, I probably didn't need to know Spanish to know that. I did not know enough Spanish to tell them that we had to go back to the camp, get some medicine, because we had some burn medication, and to get our interpreter so we could find out if maybe there's something else we could do. Super frustrating. So we go back to camp, we get the medicine, we get the interpreter, Wilmer, and we come back and we can't find them. Can't find them anywhere. We're traveling all over the place and we've got this other ministry we've got to do, and so finally we make this decision. We're going to have to go ahead and get gas and then go deliver the beds. We go to the gas station and then there they were. I'm thinking that might have been a Holy Spirit thing. Wilmer jumps out of the truck and he talks to them. And he discovers the situation. The lady has epilepsy, and in an epileptic fit, she fell into an open fire. And because they're poor, they got taken advantage of. One of the reasons why God wants us to take care of the poor is because the poor are easily oppressed. Okay, they had a shanty home, but he sold all the wood to get medication, and because everybody knew he was desperate, they gave him very little for what he had, which was not much to begin with. So we find out that they're living in this house where there's a lot of displaced people living there. More than this country would allow, right? And so we take them to a grocery store and we buy them some pretty good sized bags of rice and beans because it's not just for them. We know that. They're not going to go back to this house and, you know, kind of hoard their stuff and try to keep it secret, right? I mean, it's going to have to be shared for everybody. Okay, so in the moment, even though it took a lot of time to get this all orchestrated, we go to the house, we talk to, say, and Wilmer goes in and talks to some of the people there, and we get it all orchestrated, we get the medication, we tell them about the clinic that's operated by the church that's going to be open in a couple of days for them. And we get that all settled. It's not like we didn't deliver those beds. We did. But we had to put that off because there was a need in the moment. Sometimes ministry has got to accept. That's lesson number 3. You have to decide between good things. And you have to decide, okay, there's a ministry in the moment. So one time on my way to church, I believe we're commanded not to forsake the assembling together as some have made a habit of doing. Hebrews 10:4. I think it's important. So we're on our way, and there's this lady that's stranded in the middle of the road. Her car just died on her. And unlike normal, we were running a little bit later than I like. I like to get here early. But I knew if we stopped and helped this lady, we're going to be late. Okay? The ministry in the moment, this lady needed help. And it became more important than getting to church on time. Sometimes ministry is going to have to make those kinds of decisions. There might be times you have a plan and you think it's a godly plan, and maybe it is even what God desires for you, but something pops up into your face, and if you're not willing to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit, you might miss exactly what God wants you to do in the moment. Paul said, I had to serve the saints. I've got to do that first. And then he talks about Macedonia and Achaia, which are regions. Macedonia to the north and Achaia down low. And we don't know why he just mentions those regions in Galatians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He tells us more. More people were involved in the giving than just these two regions. We don't know why he mentions them. Maybe he was there at the time. And these are the two that are closest to him. Maybe they're the ones who were most involved in the giving. We don't know. Whatever the case is, notice what he says. They're pleased to do so. I think Paul is probably doing a couple of things here. I think number one, he wants them to know it's not like he went beating people over the head saying, you must give to the poor, and they're like, okay, here, take my money. He told them the situation, and they were excited to minister.
Amen.
Ministry ought to be fun. Yeah. By the way, sometimes it's a weight, but it ought to be a joy. Does that make sense? So this Saturday, we're going to be doing a clothing giveaway. Yeah. And the times that we've done this, it's just fun. It's fun for a lot of reasons. Number one, you get to hang out with really cool people. Amen. See, I'm not the only one there. There's cool people that come too. And we laugh and we joke and we get things ready, but then there's something amazing happens because occasionally, see, we open this up to whoever. If you want clothes, just take them. We're not going to ask you, do you really need that? We're not going to do that. If you want clothes, you take them. But occasionally you come across a family or an individual that just absolutely needs it. I remember maybe 2 or 3 years ago, there was this young man. And he said, do you have any warm clothes? He had just moved up. So we're talking about September. He moved up here to work. And somebody told him, it gets cold up here in North Dakota. He was not prepared for that. Okay. He wasn't going to have money for a while. Started work, but didn't have money. And we happened that year to have warm clothes. I think that was a Holy Spirit God thing. But it feels good, right? It feels good when you give that something that somebody needs and that you can help them and you know that you're actually serving and doing good. That just is fun. So, serving ought to be fun. So watch the letters. Woo! Ministry, and again, I'm not just talking about what the preacher does or what the elders do. Ministry, what God has called us to do because we're followers of Jesus Christ, is pleasure. We ought to be pleased to do what God wants us to do. Then he says this in verse 27. He says, yes, they were indeed. He emphasizes they were pleased to do it. I didn't beat them over the head and guilt them into it. They were pleased to do it. And then he says, because they understood, that they had received a spiritual blessing. So, at the whole beginning of ministry up, as it exodus Jerusalem and goes into the Gentile world, it starts with the church in Jerusalem sending Paul and Barnabas to Antioch. There's some kind of conflict there. They believe Paul and Barnabas are the ones to try to help. And from there, the Holy Spirit says to the church in Antioch, set aside these men and let's send them into the Gentile world. But and then later we know that when Paul came back to give a report about what the Holy Spirit is doing among the Gentiles, that the pillars of the church said, good job, just remember the poor. So the people in this Mediterranean world, predominantly Gentile people who had received the gospel, understood that that was because of the church in Jerusalem and their willingness for the gospel to exodus to the Gentiles. I think we need to understand the concept of spiritual indebtedness. See, I know that I am commanded by God to honor my parents. I know because Jesus tells me that that means financial stuff. It means so much more than that, by the way. I do that because I want to obey my God, but it's so much more than that. It's hard right now because they're in a nursing home in Washington State, and that's a long ways away. I want to serve them and minister to them because they are, I owe them a spiritual debt that I cannot repay.
Amen.
They trained. They put in effort, the Bible studies. I mean, just the things like my mom making 66 blocks and doing competitions of us putting together the books of the Bible. Just different things to try to encourage us to think about God. And they're not perfect. Who is? But they put in the effort to train us. I owe them a debt. I cannot repay it. So if they need help, I'm going to do my best to help because there is that reality. There is spiritual indebtedness. So one of the things that we do in ministry is we think about the people that have been spiritual mentors in our life. And we realize that we might have a debt to them. And if they get to the point where they need help, we help them.
Amen.
We do our best. I think it's ironic that we will pay more attention to our physical indebtedness than to our spiritual indebtedness. Verse 28. Therefore, when I have finished this and have put on my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on my way by way of you to Spain. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. When I have finished this ministry of going to Jerusalem, of bringing them this contribution, this money to help the poor saints. And notice what he calls this. When I have put my seal... Now, interestingly enough, that's the New American Standard. The word my is not in the Greek. He's not putting his seal on it. He's putting the seal. Now, some people have suggested, well, that means merely that it's saying something like it's signed, sealed, and delivered. Just the fact that he had been given this task, he got the money, and he's delivering it to them, and it's sealed, and it's now theirs. But when Paul talks about a seal often, I'm not saying it has to be this way, because Paul is capable of using words in different contexts in different ways. We all are. But often when he uses the word seal, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He is saying that the Holy Spirit has been given to you as a seal. And what he means by that is that in his world, much like ours, when the Roman government's going to transport grain, and by the way, the word fruit does not necessarily mean oranges and apples. It can mean any produce. When they transported grain, they would put their seal on the boxes or the sacks to let everybody know two things. Number one, this belongs to Rome. Number two, for protection, don't mess with Rome, we will get you. I think Paul is saying the same thing about the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does is God puts His seal on us so that the enemy can understand that we belong to God and God will protect us. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit for that. I don't think we want to be too quick to kick the Holy Spirit out of this message. See, I'm pretty sure that Paul is saying that this gift is sealed by the Spirit of God. So, when we do camp, which we were not able to do this year, when we do camp, if it is not sealed by the Holy Spirit, it's just camp.
That's right.
There are a lot of summer programs. There are a lot of summer camps. And some of them are very good, and some of them are service-oriented. That's not the distinction. The distinction is we want our camp to be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And if it's not, it's not ministry. True ministry is sealed by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that it will always be successful, by the way. What that means is that we're doing our best to obey God and we're including the Holy Spirit in the process. We want our ministries to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. And finally, notice what he says, when I come, I am confident that I will come in the fullness of the blessing. The word blessing there is literally praise. It is the word that means to be spoken well of. Sorry about that. Because it gets translated blessing, some assume that what he's saying is, when I come, I will give you a blessing in Christ. I don't think that's his point. I think his point is that when he comes, he is confident that he will come being praised by Christ. Now, there's this interesting interview with Mother Teresa. She spent much of her life trying to help the poor in one of the poorest places in the world, Calcutta, India. And there was this reporter that was interviewing her, and he said, you have to know that as good as what you're doing, you're not even making a dent in the poverty problem in Calcutta. She smiled and she said, well, praise God that God doesn't call us to success but to obedience. Right? Because sometimes we think that if it's not successful, it's not praised by Christ. It's easy to fall into that. So, when I was in grade school, we were told to make a Mother's Day gift for our mothers. It was out of clay. I didn't have a clue what... this is not it, by the way. It looked worse than that, if you can believe it. I made my mom an ashtray. My mom did not smoke. You know, it was what everybody was doing. I didn't know what to do. And it was seemed like the easiest thing, you know, right? You just make this little bowl thing and boom, put a little dent on the side and there you go. I remember when I gave that to her, she didn't look at that and throw it on the ground and break it to pieces and say, I don't smoke. What are you, a dumb? You know what she did? She put it on the coffee table. She put candy in it. And when people came over and they're like, oh, that's interesting, she said, yes, my son made it. That is Jesus Christ at every attempt to serve Him. Amen. He doesn't sit there and throw it down and say, what were you thinking? He doesn't say to churches, you haven't had a baptism in 2 years? What are you guys, a bunch of dumbs? He says, Yes! Look at them go, Father! Look at what they're trying to do. Every attempt. See, it's not about success necessarily. It's about obedience.
Yeah.
It's about trying to serve God. And every time we do, then God praises us and we can be confident in that.
Yeah.
That's easier said than done.
Yeah.
See, I've struggled this summer because my ministry has changed and dwindled in my mind. So I can't go into the prisons right now. That was going pretty well. I am a chaplain at the Youth Correction Center, so I do go in there. And but attendance to the things that I'm doing has dropped way down. I have to do it differently because I have to do it by cottage, and it just is it's been a struggle the whole time. And so the whole summer I've been going, I'm just not doing anything. So Thursday I go in and I'm talking to two young men, and one of them says, "Yeah, this guy lied to me about you Thursday." I'm like, "Oh boy, here we go." It's a youth correction center. Did I fail to mention that? Who knows what that lie could have been? And he said, "Yeah, I was in the shower and I came out," and he said, "Walter was here and you missed him. And I was so frustrated because you're such a nice guy." Sometimes you just need a little bit something like that, don't you?
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel like I've had just little opportunities to talk to these young men. And I struggle with what can I do and how can I serve and how can I minister. And I feel like I'm offering up God nothing but an ugly ashtray. I feel like George Bailey looking back on my life and going, it's nothing, nothing's happened. All of the sacrifice with no results. And God's up there going, yes, keep going, keep going.
Amen.
Every time we try to obey God, God is praising us. Kendrick's going to finish out for me. Every time. The world might not see it. They might question. So I think about this a lot because I have to give reports to my supervisor out there that include how many kids are coming to the things that I do. Some months that's like zero, 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 zero. And in our world, that can mean, wow, you're not doing anything. You should probably leave. Right? But it doesn't matter what the world says, and it doesn't matter what anybody says, and it doesn't if people get in your face and they say you're not accomplishing anything. I've had Christians tell me that. Okay? It doesn't matter. None of that matters because my God in heaven is up there saying, yes! Good job. Just like when our children were little, right? And they're learning to walk. And they stumble and fall. You don't sit there and go, oh my goodness, would you get busy and learn how to do this? They take a step and fall, and we're like going, yes! That's our Jesus Christ. That's our Lord and Savior. Every time we attempt to take a step, it doesn't matter if we fall. It doesn't matter if everybody else in the world is saying, oh man, that's worthless. It doesn't matter. Jesus Christ is clapping his hands and saying, praise you! I'm telling you, he's going to take over. Amen. There There is a lot of gems about ministry in this passage that we might miss if we just thought it was about traveling. Sometimes ministry can be frustrating because it doesn't happen the way you planned. Those of you who have reached my age, you might look at your life and go, this is not exactly where I thought I'd be at this point in my life. That happened to anybody else? We struggle with that, don't we? Things may not happen the way that you planned. You might decide that this is going to be a great ministry and you try it and nothing happens. You might even have people to say, well, that was a complete waste of time. But you can be confident that every step you try to make, God is praising your effort. And that goes for everyone who is claiming to follow Jesus Christ. So, one of the hardest things as a parent of adult children is, well, doggone it all, they make their own choices. The biggest part of second guessing for a parent, right there, right? You wonder if you did any good. You second guess everything. You wonder what you could have said differently, what you could have done. I think we need to rethink this. Every moment that you took a step to try to train your children in God, God praises that. He's not disappointed in you. He's not a results-driven God. He is an obedience-driven God.
Amen.
So, let's do ministry. Let's have fun. Sometimes we're going to struggle because it doesn't work the way we want it. But let's do ministry. As you and I, as this church, as the body of Christ in this place, let's do ministry. And know that every step we take, Jesus Christ is praising us. So let's do ministry. Anyone here this morning that needs prayers for the stumbling and the falling and for whatever is going on in your life, I don't know what that might be. If you need prayers for health concerns, whatever it is, we would love to approach our Father in heaven and pray with you. If you want to know more about our God, who is able to clap you on even through your stumbles, we would love to talk to you about God. Whatever you need, please come as gather we stand and sing.
633.